Your podcast is a feeding engine for your business, and getting on other people's shows brings you other guests, builds relationships with other people, brings new potential clients your way. That's the brilliance of being a podcaster. If you're just thinking of getting started in podcasting and you're wondering, should I, shouldn't I? I'm telling you, you absolutely should.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It is your host, Adam A. Adams, the AAA I'm Helping You podcast. And today we've got Nikki Ballew on the show. We're talking about thought leadership and a few tips, tricks, and strategies that you're going to need to implore to grow your thought leadership platform. Cool thing about Nikki is he's published about 400 episodes on his podcast alone. So it's kind of interesting, kind of cool. And he's got a bunch of experience. Now, I know you are probably about to launch your podcast or you've had it for like less than 2 years. Well, we want to give you some tips, tricks, and strategies that are going to help you grow your show, that are going to help you be a better thought leader. And we're going to learn that from Nikki today. His bio is already in the show notes. The link to Thought Leader Revolution, that's the podcast, Thought Leader Revolution. The link to that is already in the show notes. So you can scroll down and click, connect with him, see what he's doing. His website's there. Without further ado, what's up, Nikki? How are you today?
Good to be here, Adam. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun episode because thought leadership, that's what we do as podcasters. And you are an authority on the thought leadership space. And one of the ways that I know that you've done that is by writing your 8 books and helping other people publish books. I want to talk a little bit about why did you start a podcast? Your bio is already in the show notes, but I want to just hear, like, what made you decide that you needed a podcast? You've already got all these best-selling books. Why a podcast?
Well, at the time, I only had one book.
Okay.
So I didn't have a bunch of books then. And this was back in 2015. One of my mentors, who's actually my business coach, is a man named Mark Von Muser. Mark used to be Anthony Robbins' director of coaching and training. I'm his only one-on-one coaching client. This guy has worked with 4,000 to 5,000 business owners, has helped generate a few billion dollars in additional sales. And he looked me in the eye one day and when we were coaching and he said, "You need a podcast." So, you know, being a good coachee, I said, "Okay." He said, "Go figure out how to do it." I said, "All right." So at the time, I was partnered with someone in my business. So he and I did the podcast together. You know, we bought all the equipment, we got everything going. The idea was to reach people who wouldn't otherwise know who we were. And that was the main reason we started the podcast. And I got to tell you, it's the best decision I ever made. Having a podcast has helped me generate over $3.5 million in revenue. Being a guest on other people's podcasts through the magic of PodMatch has helped me generate in just a few short months, $125,000 in revenue. So podcasting's really good for business.
I love it. I'm making so many notes. By the way, Nikki, if you see all the stuff that I just typed in the chat, don't stress about it. You can always read it, but I don't want it to distract you. I keep my own notes in the chat and then my team also gets that and pulls that off. So, but I did make some notes in there, as you could probably see. Your mentor said you need a podcast. So you did. You started as co-host. I'm going to ask you a question about if you're still doing co-hosts, why or why not, and how that played out. Also, you mentioned that you wanted to reach people who you didn't already know, who didn't already know you. And then you mentioned two other really cool things. And I want to make sure that the listener hears this because the listener probably, most likely, is ready to make their six-figure or seven-figure business happen. They're probably ready. They probably are just wrapping their head around it. Maybe they've made six figures in their job, but they're like, how could I make a podcast make six figures? But Nikki, you've produced $3 million in revenue through your podcast. Amazing. That has to be heard. If you're listening, you got to know. $3 million. I'm not there. I'm not there, but I am over a million from my podcast, but it's taken a couple of years. I'm pretty close to 1.5 million because I have a podcast. I wouldn't have made this gross revenue not net profit. I wish it was net profit, but I wouldn't have made this gross revenue if it wasn't for the podcast. Easily pulled in 1.5 in the last 2 years. You mentioned Podmatch. I love Podmatch. The owner is a friend of mine, Alex Sanfilippo.
Alex, friend of mine too.
He's a good man.
He's a brother in Christ.
He's awesome. Podmatch is super inexpensive. So I want to put this into perspective for the listener in case they don't know what Podmatch is. We're going to link to Podmatch in the show notes. And what it is a place where you can connect with people that you can get on their show or they can come on your show. Or one of my favorite things to do, and I'm hoping that Nikki and I will do this, it's reciprocal interviews. He comes on my show and I go on his show and we both add value to each other's audience. We both get hack into each other's audience as well to get just another couple of followers and maybe make more sales. Nikki's talking about how Podmatch brought him in just the last few months, $125,000. And you may be listening and being like, well, that's like 20, 30, 40,000 a month. That's what the value of being able to be on these things are. So if you can look at Podmatch as, let's call it a $40 a month investment, roughly, give or take, it'll probably change prices, who knows, but a 40 buck a month, but you might be making $40,000 in exchange, 1,000x, your investment, is it worth it? Is it worth it to be on Podmatch? So, Nikki, I would just want to find out, as the listener's thinking, should I be on Podmatch? Should I spend, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 bucks a month in order to make 100K in a couple of months? What's the strategy? What have you been doing in order to be able to make that 125K? How do we implement it if we go to Podmatch or even Podbooker?
So, I'll tell you this. First of all, if you are starting a podcast and you simply want to make money, I don't think that's enough of a reason to give you the impetus to do what you need to do to make your podcast successful. Because podcasts are all about wanting to get a message out there, a message that's burning in your soul, a message that you got to make sure other people hear. So I don't have one podcast. I actually have two podcasts. I got a business podcast. I got a men's podcast.
A men's podcast?
Yeah, they're both all about making sure that the people that listen get entertained, get a ton of value. And for me, it's about getting a burning message out there. In business, I believe in free enterprise. I believe in free expression. I think they're the most important things in the world. And so for me, I've got a business podcast for entrepreneurs because I think entrepreneurs are society's greatest heroes. But I think entrepreneurs need to be educated on what free enterprise is, what free expression is, what freedom is, because we're living in a time right now where there's a whole bunch of crazy folks out there that are trying to convince everybody, entrepreneurs and business people included, that socialism is a good thing. So I'm definitely not for that. I'm all for free enterprise. So my podcasts are very powerfully designed to make sure that what's on my heart gets out there into the world. And the men's podcast that I've done, that's a podcast where I talk about issues that are germane to men. Like, I want to make men masculine again, because I think masculinity right now is something that is being lost. A lot of men don't even understand what a real masculine man is all about. And there's a lot of folks out there that are crapping on men and masculinity. They're saying, you know, masculinity is toxic, we need to get rid of the patriarchy and all that crap, which to me is BS. Toxic masculinity is a misandrous phase that's sexist, that's against men. And I think the world needs men and it needs women at the same time to be operating at their best. So, you know, I'm here to uplift men. There's plenty of people that are doing everything they can to uplift women. I think that's great. I'm here to uplift men. So that's what I do. That's why those podcasts are being done. Okay, so that's first and foremost. Very straightforward. If you got a message and it's a powerful message in your podcast and you have people listening to your podcast, the people that love that message are going to be interested in continuing to listen. And some of these people are going to have the kinds of problems you solve. So the problem I solve, Adam, is I solve a problem called not enough money. Most of the people that become our clients tend to be coaches, consultants, other experts who work really hard, don't make enough money. Grant Cardone says it's a syndrome, and this syndrome is called working too hard for way too little. right? So my solution is I'm going to help you add 500,000 to 2.5 million or more a year to your business while working 10 to 20 hours less a week. That's my pitch. That's what I do for people. So when people listen to my podcast, they get to know that about me. They get to listen to the problems that other people have. So I have two interviews a week that I do with the Thought Leader Revolution. The first interview is I interview a thought leader. And the second interview is a solo interview where by myself, I go and I do something called a Thought Leader Nugget, where I give them a nugget of gold that if they grab it and they implement it right away, they're going to be able to go and turn that into money inside their business. They're going to be able to add $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 to their business by listening to that Thought Leader Nugget. So this week, the episode's coming out day after tomorrow. And that Thought Leader Nugget, number 73, is about the distinction between spending and investing. You know, there's a lot of people that are in our space going, oh, I don't want to spend money. I don't want to spend money. I don't want to spend money. That's too much money. But, you know, spending money is when you lay something out and you don't have any expectation of return. So if you go take a trip to Vegas with your boys, that's spending money. If you go and you buy yourself a Harley Davidson, that's spending money. Okay. You have no expectation of that money ever coming back to you. Okay. But tell you what, if you invest money, you invest in yourself, you have an expectation of a return of that money. So as an example, if you decide to come and do, you know, our programs, our branded thought leader immersion workshop, and you plunk down 10K to come and do that workshop, you're not just plunking down 10K and going, okay, that money's gone. You're plunking down 10K to get back 30. You know what I'm saying? That's what you do when you invest in yourself. And one of my former clients is the great Robin Sharma, the author of the book, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. And here's what Robin has to say. Robin says, if you ever want to double your income in any given year, you need to triple your investment in personal and professional development. And I'll repeat that. If you ever want to double your income in any given year, you need to triple your investment in personal and professional development. Because if you triple your investment in your personal professional development, you're investing in the most important asset that pays off the best that you could ever invest in, and that's yourself. There's so many people who invest money in stocks, in bonds, in real estate, in cryptocurrency, but they don't invest in themselves. That's absolutely nuts. If you want to make more money, make yourself better. The great Jim Rohn said, don't wish life was easier. Wish you were better. And the way to become better is invest time, money, and energy in your most important asset.
A lot of good stuff, a lot of good notes that I'm taking as well on everything that you're sharing. I want to bring out a couple of pieces for the listener who's a podcaster, because there's a lot of valuable lessons here. And one is Nicky's talking about when he did his podcast, he's always making sure he does three things. He entertains people, he makes sure that there's value, and he makes sure that there's a burning message. Another thing that he mentioned that is super important and can help you as a thought leader, because he's the thought leader guy, if you want to do that, you have to draw your line in the sand. If you've been listening for a while, I've always shared story about this fictitious guy named was a cave person who developed fire, thought fire was awesome. The chief didn't want it. He thought it was scary. And decided to say, F this, I'm going to draw my line in the sand. If you want to come on this side and be with fire and see all the benefits, come on over. If not, you're going to stay over there. And so one thing that Nicky does really incredibly well is he draws his line in the sand. Here's the scary thing. When you draw your line in the sand, you're going to hurt feelings. You're going to scare people away. And you're going to get a few people to come straight to you. When said we're playing with fire, a lot of people said, that's of the devil. That is horrible. You could get hurt. See how you could start a forest fire. We're not doing that. Had a different idea. He believed in having fire. He thought that it would help you stay warm. He thought it would do this. And so he drew his line in the sand and said, I'm standing for something, even though half of the tribe stayed with the previous chief and the other half came with him. But you've got to be comfortable drawing your line in the sand. Here's a couple lines that Nicky has. It offended a couple of you, and a couple of you resonated with it. when he said, I believe in free enterprise. I believe in not socialism. Some of you believe in socialism. And so you're like, F that. I'm not into this. I don't like this. But it was okay because Nikki drew his line and he showed what he stood for. And some people are going to say, man, I've got to follow him. He's speaking my language. Another thing he mentioned was masculinity. There's anti-masculinity. There's femininity. There's toxic masculinity. There's all these terms. And Nikki shares exactly what he feels, even though he understands maybe not all of the people are coming across the sand to his side of the line. So this is just important for you to grasp and take thought, even if you're one of those people that's offended. Maybe you're like, oh, masculinity, hell no, I'm not doing that. But at least you understand he stands for something. He believes in what he's standing for. And he has that burning message that he feels compelled to share. And you've got to do the same thing, regardless if you believe it or not. Next, solving a problem. He solves a problem, people who don't make enough money. I want you to figure out what problem you solve in your business, with your thought leadership, with your podcast. Why in the heck do you have this anyway? Take a page out of Nikki's book, figure out what problem you solve, and then share it when you're going on other podcasts, share it on your own podcast. He talked about how he does two episodes a week, one where it's an interview, one where it's solo, and that idea of spending versus investing. But Nikki, do you mind if I kind of disagree on one small point?
It's your show, man. Rock and roll.
I think
whatever you want.
When I go with my children and money comes out of my pocket, I still think that's an investment. I think it's an investment into something. Maybe I won't get the money back, but I think it's investing in my kiddos. Anyway. I love that idea.
Time and energy in your kids, but I'm talking about the difference. Okay. You don't expect that Touché. Money to come back. That money's not coming back. You know, listen, I took my kids to a ritzy resort in the summer in the Muskokas in Ontario, man, called the Rousseau. It is a Marriott resort. It is she, it is foo-foo. We spent a lot of money there. And listen, man, my boys were with me, my two sons, and that's the greatest time in the world. That's an investment of love. That's an investment of caring energy. But my money's not coming back. That money's gone. But when I hire the fellas or the ladies who are going to build our online sales funnel, which I'm about to do soon, there's going to be some money involved. But I expect that money to come back. I expect whatever money that I'm spending on that, I expect that to come back fivefold, tenfold, twentyfold. That's the difference between spending and investing. And we're talking in terms of financial things. And listen, time invested with people you love, that's beautiful stuff, but that's not business, bro. That's not business.
I understand. So,
I also want to say one thing else. Femininity is not the opposite of masculinity, okay? Femininity and masculinity are very compatible. They're very, very compatible. It's a whole discussion for another time, but the world right now has gone absolutely mad, and especially in the West. And I got to tell you, if we don't smarten up, we're toast. We're like late stage Roman Empire in the West right now. And you know what happened to the Roman Empire, right? In the 400s, the Goths kind of sacked Rome and the empire broke apart, you know? And we need to understand what keeps a society and a culture strong. I had a man that's been a guest on both my podcasts. His name is Jeff Michael Hoff. He wrote a poem called Hard Times Create Strong Men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. We're in what he calls the fourth turning. That's the weak men creating hard times. And that's where we're living right now. That's why there's a war in Ukraine. You know, that's why our society in the West is turning against each other. People aren't united. They're fighting one another. And all those things are things that if we're smart, we're going to look at. We're going to say, we need to do something to turn this around. Because if we don't, we could be in for a world of hurt.
What else do we need to be thinking about when it comes to thought leadership and our podcast? Because there's a podcast that isn't a thought leadership platform until we do it the right way. So what does the listener need to know about building a thought leadership platform and maybe even through their show?
Well, let me explain what thought leadership means, because a lot of people misunderstand what is and is not a thought leader. Okay. It's one of those phrases that's bandied about a lot. So a thought leader is best described by drawing a distinction between an expert and a thought leader. This is an original to me. Matt Church said this first. He said, an expert is someone who knows something. Now, experts are a dime a dozen, right? But a thought leader is someone who's known for knowing something. Now, thought leaders are rare and valuable, okay? You know what I'm saying? So I'll give you an example. Someone listening to this might be a life coach with their own podcast, or they're about to launch a podcast. They can solve any life problem you have. You need to lose weight? No problem. They got you covered. Your relationship's in trouble? No problem. They got you covered. You need to grow your business? No problem. They got you covered. Now, what's the problem with that? The problem with trying to be all things to all people and saying you can solve all problems is that no one's going to trust you to be an expert in any of them. Okay, imagine what kind of doctor would you want to go visit if you needed heart surgery? Would you want to visit your general practitioner? Or would you want to visit a world-renowned heart surgeon?
100%, right? Yeah.
And who makes more money?
The specialist.
The general practitioner or that specialist? When you're a thought leader, you're a specialist. Okay, so when it comes to me, what am I known for? Well, I'm known for a few things. One of them is I'm known for getting people paid. People know if you work with Nikki Billu, you're going to make money, right? So people who are experts, who are coaches, who are consultants go, okay, I go work with this guy. He's got a track record of having helped a whole bunch of people make money, make a lot of money. I've helped 11 people add anywhere between $1 and $38.5 million to their business. And I've helped another 60, 70 odd more add 100,000 to 600,000 to 700,000 a year to the business. That's a good track record, something good to be known for, right? Another thing I'm known for is I'm known as a champion for masculinity. I'm known for somebody who stands up for men. I'm known for somebody who uplifts men and young boys and seeks to help them be sharper and better and that sort of thing. So I'm known as a thought leader in those areas, right? And you got to ask yourself, what are you known for? And you don't get to say what you're known for. Other people do. The marketplace does. So you can influence that. You can start to put out your information, but the marketplace fundamentally is going to say, yeah, you're known for this, or no, you're not known for this. And that's what you as a prospective thought leader need to be thinking about, right? You need to be thinking about, how do I go from simply being an expert to being known for something? That's one of the things that's really, really important. It's one of the things we teach people to do. You got to create your expertise. You got to create your thought leadership. You got to take a stand for things, as you said before, and you got to start to put it out there. You got to be clear on what problem you solve. It's all got to be problem solving driven. Who do you solve it for? And just as importantly, who don't you solve it for? You can't just be saying, okay, I can solve this for anybody. I can just, no, there are people you need to say no to. Good thought leadership, write this down, Adam, repels as much as it attracts.
100%.
Good thought leadership repels as much as it attracts. Now, I'm Nikki Billu, right? A lot of people love me. A lot of people don't love me. A lot of people don't love me at all. Some people hate me, as a matter of fact. I'm good with it. In fact, I actually love it that some people hate me, because it shows that I'm living a life of consequence. Martin Luther King, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, these are all great world leaders who made big things happen in the world, good things happen in the world. They created freedom for millions of people. In the case of Ronald Reagan, hundreds of millions of people, maybe even billions of people. But there's people who hated them with a white hot passion. Now, those people were deluded and wrong, but nonetheless, they didn't try to placate their haters. You know, I've had a woman I know, her name is Ritu Basin. And she, I don't know if you know how explicit allow people to get here, probably not, but
as much as you want, as much as you want, we'll just put the explicit letter. We're fine.
Here's what she said one day when she was building her thought leadership, and she's brilliant. Okay. I don't agree with her on everything, but she's brilliant. She said, you're going to have haters. Fuck the haters. And I was like, whoa, because I'm a good Persian boy, you know? And I'm like, we never talked about that way, but you know, she's right. She's right. You can't help it. You're going to have haters. And what are you going to do? You're going to get those haters to fall in love with you? You can't do that. They're not going to fall in love with you. They're going to hate you. And that's okay. You're there to find the people that love you and love your message. And you're going to do that by having a problem that you solve, an outcome that you provide for a particular group of people that you do and for a particular group of people that you don't. Then you need to really understand what life is like for the people suffering from your problem. So I got folks that I talk to who are in business like you and I are. They got great podcasts. They make good money. I'm talking to a man yesterday who makes $500,000 a year in income, but he wants to make 2 million. So $500,000 is bothering him. It's something that keeps him up at night. He doesn't feel good about himself. He feels he's performing at less than his best. That stresses him out. That causes some stress between him and his wife. You know, he snaps at her sometimes where he doesn't really mean to. You know what I mean? And it causes him stress on his health. So there's a chance he might have a stroke or a heart attack where he really shouldn't because he's making less money. You know, and you think about this. If he looks forward 5 years and this continues, that stress level is going to go up. That self-belief is going to go down. His health's going to suffer. His relationship, he might get divorced because of this. And that might cost him a couple million dollars right there. Might lead him into an early grave. You think about this, right? But if he solves that and he's making 2 million a year, his self-confidence is back. His relationship with his wife's going to be better. He's going to feel better because he's going to have less stress. He's going to have money to take care of the people that he loves. So there's hell and there's heaven, right? And I go, hey, man, listen, this hell looks like it really sucks. We really want to get you to heaven. I got a way to get you there. That's my offer, my solution. Would you be interested in like exploring it? Yeah, I'm interested in exploring it. Great. That's your job to do with your clients. You got to run your podcast to help feed your business. You got to run your podcast to help feed your business, unless you're doing this for a lark and just for fun and shits and giggles, right? But otherwise, your podcast is a feeding engine for your business, and getting on other people's shows brings you other guests, builds relationships with other people, brings new potential clients your way. That's the brilliance of being a podcaster. If you're just thinking of getting started in podcasting and you're wondering, should I, shouldn't I? I'm telling you, you absolutely should. You should do it right away. And you should immediately be thinking about how you can add value, be entertaining, and have people who don't know who you are get to know who you are so that you can build more business opportunities for yourself.
I want to get your thoughts after the break on calls to action, if they're important, how to do them. So we'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with Nikki Bilou, and we're talking about thought leadership. We're talking about how to grow your business, making revenue. Some of the people that have worked with him are making an extra million or even 30 million in a year because of some of these things, the thought leadership. And it made me think right before the break that calls to action are probably pretty important to this process. And so I wanted to get Nikki's thoughts and suggestions on how you could be better at your CTAs on your podcast. Nikki, take it away.
Okay. So look, a call to action is important, but what's most important is the intention behind it. And I'm going to share why that is in the form of a story. So when I was growing up, I was a young boy in Iran, Christian boy in a majority Muslim country. And when I was like 10, 11 years old, the Islamic Revolution happened. And my late father, God rest his soul, he took us out of the country. He brought us to the West because he thought this was not going to be a great place to raise his family. Okay. And he brought us to the West. And here's why that's so meaningful for me, because we're free here. You know, I know that it's really fashionable for a lot of people these days, especially to say, oh my God, we're so oppressive here. We're so racist and sexist. And I'm like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. This is the most tolerant place in the world by far and by bar none. And all of our historical mistakes here, we look at them, we acknowledge them, and we try to make them better. They don't do that in the rest of the world. They double down on those mistakes. They double down on going after people. When I was 11 years old, someone threw a Molotov cocktail through my living room window. It landed right next to me with the wick burning. My dad saw it. He grabbed it. He pulled out the wick, poured out the gasoline. Otherwise, you and I wouldn't be speaking here today. Okay. And one of the things that my dad was known for was just being an entrepreneur and a generous entrepreneur. He gave people their start in business. He gave people jobs. He helped them find jobs if he couldn't give them a job himself. And for some of his employees who couldn't afford to buy a house or a car, he'd help them out. And his employees would die for him. They'd literally take a bullet for him. My dad's been dead a while right now. And I run into people who knew him from time to time. And when I say I'm Napoleon Belew's son, their eyes light up and they go, oh my God, you're Napoleon's son. Your dad was the greatest man I've ever known. He was so kind of like, it was embarrassing for me. I just feel uncomfortable after a while, but I'd also feel very proud. And the intention that my father had to be of service and to help was what allowed him to sell effectively out in the world, because people knew this is a good dude. This man gives a darn. And if you're putting out a call to action, there better be an intention for you in that call to action, that that call to action is more for them than for you. That call to action is more for them than for you. Okay. There's somebody there who's someone's brother, someone's sister, someone's mother, someone's father, someone's wife, someone's husband. They're a hero to somebody and they're hurting. Maybe they're overweight and they're thinking about killing themselves. Maybe their husband or their wife is leaving and they're thinking about killing themselves. Maybe their business has imploded and they don't know how they're going to feed their family. And they're on the phone with you, or they're reaching out to you because of that intention you put out in your call to action, because they want to believe, hope against hope, that you're a good person and that you're going to care enough about them and not about the commission check you're going to get. Because that's what, unfortunately, a lot of people in business, right? They're worried, is this person there going to be like some salesy person, some pushy person, somebody reeking of commission breath? Because they don't want that. And if you're putting a call to action out there, yeah, it's good for your business. Yeah, I want you to make money. Absolutely. You know, I'm a capitalist. I'm a free enterprise 100%. But what I want you to do first and foremost is I want you to come from a deep place where you're serving somebody. Because nobody wants to be sold, but everybody wants to be served. You know what I'm saying, Adam?
100%. Yes, I do. It's like giving me the chills. Like, I just think that that was so well said. Calls to action are important, and they need to come from a deep place of love, caring, compassion. And the big word that I'm hearing is service. So when I bring on a client where I can help them with their podcast, my thought isn't, oh, I'm excited to make such and such amount of money. But my thought is, I'm really going to serve this person. I'm really going to help them grow their show, get in front of the right people through this medium. And for the listener and their whatever they do, they need to be thinking about, as well as that CTA comes from a deep place of serving the other person. If you're listening, you got a shit ton of value today. We talked about how Nikki's mentor told him he needed to have a podcast, and he did it. And then he made $3 million through it. And he's making more and more money by serving others. We talked about entertaining, giving value, and sharing your burning message, your line in the sand, figuring out what problem you solve, how you solve it, who you solve it for, who you don't solve it for, so you can make that distinction. We talked about haters and the lovers, and we talked about what you need to be thinking and that it's good to have both. And we talked about doubling down on your investing in yourself. Being known for something, known for knowing something, is what true thought leadership is, not just knowing something like an expert. and ended it off with chills that you know that when you put out a call to action, it's because you fucking love the people that listen to you. You want to care for them. You want to give them the next step. And if you don't do that, you can't get them to the next step. By the way, the very next episode after this is just a solo episode, similar to how Nikki does it. It's a solo episode where I pour into just you with something a little bit shorter. I don't want you to miss it, so I'll see you on the next episode. If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.